And now, it's time for the Talk of the Northwest, the 9 to noon show with Greg Hughes on Highland Radio.
Hello, good morning, and you're very welcome along to the 9 to noon show. 4 minutes past nine on a brand new week of the programme, Monday the 8th of December 2025. How are you all keeping? I do hope you are very well indeed, and I hope you had a nice weekend, whether you were able to relax, or indeed if you were working, hopefully it wasn't too tough on you. I'm looking out the window here at the mountaintop in Letterkenny and it is calm, but we do know between tonight and tomorrow a yellow wind warning and rain, and apparently we're going to get the worst of it up here. So it's going to be a middling old storm, you know, not to overplaying it, but certainly not something to be ignored at this stage. But we'll keep you up to date with that, of course, here on Highland Radio right across the day. As Lee Gooch mentioned there, we have €1,000 to give away today. It's really the beginning of the giveaways as part of the Highland Radio Christmas car draw. As you would know, we've got a most beautiful car. Let me get the beats for you. We've got the most beautiful car to give away just before Christmas on this programme. And it is that Renault Symbios worth over €35,000. I have to pass it every day, or at least I did last week, sitting outside Highland Motors across the road from us here, and it really is a very pretty car on the outside and it's full of tech on the inside. So we've got the car worth over €35,000 to give away, and starting today we've got 10 prizes of €1,000. So listen, I'm just letting you know, in case you're going to enter and you don't want to miss out, you need to get in now over the next hour or so to ensure that you're in all of those 11 draws. It's €15 for one ticket and you can get 5 for 50. So they're a tenner effectively per ticket. You can put them in individual names if you like, or put them all in your name. So the tickets, as I mentioned, €15 for one, 50 for five. And the big draws start today, €1,000 today. So €10,000 and then the big one, the car, €35,000 plus of a beautiful, fully specced out Renault Symbios worth over, as I mentioned, €35,000. You can get your tickets right now if you wish. You can go on to our website, highlandradio.com. Your ticket's emailed to you. If you want to give us a call at the station here, you can as well, 07491 25000, and we can sort that out for you, 07491 25000. Or if you want to call in, if you deal in cash and cash only, and that's the way you want to do it, or it's more convenient for you, you can call in here during office hours. But as I say, the reason why it's important this morning is this: we've got this less than 2 hour window for you to get your tickets. Highlandradio.com, or call us on 07491 25000, and then you will be in all 11 draws. So there you are. That's completely up to you. And of course, as always, only play if you can afford to have a bit of fun with your hard earned cash. 15 for one ticket, 5 for 50. Highlandradio.com or 07491 25000. We'll try and get everyone in the draw that calls, or obviously the internet's the easiest way to do it because it's all automated. But if you have to call, try and do it early, because we want to make sure that every person that wants a ticket can get a ticket. Let's have a look at the papers. Remalton honours Monsignor's 50 years in the priesthood. This is the Derry People Donegal News. It was an evening of celebration and nostalgia in Remalton on Friday as the community gathered to celebrate Monsignor J. Anthony McDade's Golden Jubilee in the priesthood. St. Mary's Church was filled with family members, friends and parishioners, and they were joined by Diocesan Administrator Monsignor Kevin Gillespie, Meva Parish Priest, the Very Reverend Patrick Dunn, and Remalton Parish Priest, the Very Reverend Michael Carney, for a special mass to mark the occasion. The Derry News is out today as well. PPS soldier, a prosecution decision today. The PPS, the Northern Irish equivalent of the DPP. A Derry family will find out this morning if the British soldier who shot dead their uncle will face prosecution. Billy McGreenery, 41, was shot by a member of the 1st Battalion Grenadier Guards at the junction of Eastway, Lonemore Road and Westland Street in Derry on the evening of September 14th, 1971. He underwent surgery at Altnagelvin Hospital but died in the early hours of September 15th. in September past, on the 54th anniversary of McGreenery's murder, his nephew and namesake Billy McGreenery said in May 2024, the Public Prosecution Service had undertaken what was supposed to be a 6 weeks review into its decision not to prosecute Soldier A, who admitted killing Mr. McGreenery. Much more on that, of course, on the front of an Inside That paper. On to the Nationals now, and a horrific story from down the country in the Irish Times and in all the papers. Gardaí have launched a double murder investigation after a young boy and his great aunt were killed in a suspected petrol bomb attack on a house in County Offaly on Saturday. The victims were named locally last night and by the Gardaí as Tadhg Farrell, just 4, and Mary Holt, 60. Another woman, who is in her 50s, was in critical condition in hospital, having suffered extensive burns in the blaze at Castleview Park, Edenderry. It's understood she is Miss Holt's sister and the deceased boy's grandmother. A Gardaí believe a petrol bomb or similar was thrown into the house on Castleview Park in the town just before 7:45 p.m. The fire engulfed the end of terrace property in a local authority estate. It appears the deceased were trapped in a downstairs room as a result of the fire. Absolutely horrific. And our sympathies to the deceased, of course, their families and friends and the wider community. Gardaí continued to investigate that. But, you know, it put me in mind instantly as I was hearing that story of that warning of people attacking people's houses. We would hear them regularly on Community Garda information. And I'm not in any way equating what happened here with those instances, don't get me wrong. But we heard recently of newspapers being lit in newspapers being lit in a letterbox. We've had fireworks put in through people's doors. There's accelerant have been squirted in through petrol boxes and lighters thrown. And this is precisely what could have been the net result of those types of activities. Stones being thrown through windows, potentially, you know, hitting a kid in a cot or something that could be sleeping in that space. You know, hopefully whoever is responsible for these types of attacks, and for whatever reason they are, desist, because this is exactly the type of outcome that there could be. Whether it's intentional or not, it doesn't matter. These people, I imagine, will be caught, because every Garda resource will be thrown at it, and they will face the full rigours of the law, and they will have the four-year-old life of Tadhg and his great-aunt Mary on their conscience forever. No Irish Independent today, so on to the Irish Daily Mail. And there's a higher employment rate and lifespan in the Republic than there is in Northern Ireland. And there's no details of this in this newspaper, but they've split it up in terms of two jurisdictions, right? The 6 counties and the 26 counties. That being said, I feel that we in the Northwest here generally, be it Derry, Tyrone or Donegal, have similar experiences. So whilst they're talking about the situation in the Republic versus the North, I think we can probably group ourselves in the North statistically, if you know what I mean, with some of the key indicators. And the averages from further down the county sort of cancel out our reality, if that makes sense. Well, the Republic has higher employment rates, longer life expectancy and a faster growing population compared to the North, a new report has found. This is the first in a series of annual reports by the Economic and Social Research Institute comparing the economies on either side of the border. The report, being launched by Taoiseach Simon Harris today, highlights how last year the South had higher labour force participation and employment rates. Participation stood at 78.5% in the Republic and 75.7% in the North, while employment rates were 75.1% in the Republic and 74.3% in the North. Unemployment is higher in the North as well. There are differences in life expectancy as well, and what have you. But my concern is that this is the problem we have with Dublin and Belfast, in that, you know, the ESRI have put this together. The Taoiseach is going to launch it, but it kind of brushes over the fact that a lot of border counties have a far similar experience to life in the North, be it health, money, employment, than they would have with the national average in the Republic, if that makes sense. So I think, if this is okay for me to say, I think these types of reports potentially can reinforce a regional imbalance, if that makes sense. Because it makes the Republic look rosy, but doesn't take into consideration potentially the deficits in the Northwest, which would share more with the North. Hope I've made sense there. But anyway, the Sun this morning, Fine Gael has slumped to a 10-year low in popularity and another blow for leader Simon Harris, the latest political poll suggests. The study also found 70% disagreed with the Taoiseach's move to the role of finance minister. 70% disagreed with his rule. I suppose the fact it was self-appointing. 70% disagreed with the Taoiseach's move to the role of finance minister after Pascal Donoghue quit to take up a job with the World Bank. The latest Sunday Independent Ireland Thinks research found that the coalition party is sitting on 17% support, its lowest level since January 2016. And following Mr. Donoghue's recent switch, Harris's move to his finance ministry has proved unpopular with many voters. Some 70% of those who responded said they disagreed with the appointment, while just 15% backed him in the new role. Among Fine Gael voters, 47% supported the move, 27% objected. Mr. Harris's personal popularity rating was at 34%, unchanged from last month, but still a record low. We'll be talking about this a little later on. It was carried on the news, and just want to reference it in this part of the programme. But as I say, something we'll be talking about in more detail a little later on. It's in the Irish Daily Star. The Minister for Justice, who was up in the county on Friday, has ruled out an immediate inquiry into the cause of the Chrysler tragedy. Jim O'Callaghan was speaking during a visit to the county. He met with the parents of Leona Harper, one of the 10 victims killed following an explosion at the Apple Green filling station in the village on the afternoon of October 7th, 2022. The minister told the Harper family that his opinion is that justice for the families of those who died in the explosion will not be delivered by an inquiry. So we'll speak to Donna Harper a little later on, who was in that meeting or had that conversation. And just to recap about this weather warning, not to alarm you, just to prepare you, a status yellow wind warning has been issued to all 26 counties ahead of what is set to be a wet and very windy day across the county or the country tomorrow. The alert issued by Met Éireann on Sunday morning indicates that very strong and gusty southerly winds will arrive in the early hours of Tuesday and continue to make an impact until the evening. Coastal areas are set to be worst affected, with gale force winds possible while the warning is in place from 3 a.m. until 9 p.m. So just to be cautious if you're commuting to work or school or what have you tomorrow. You are going to wake up, if you haven't already been woken up, to a breezy day. Windy day, I suppose you could say. All right, we'll be back with more very shortly. OK, so it took a while, but Donegal County Council finally passed its budget for 2026. It went down to the wire, it has to be said. We've got two guests to discuss this, and I suppose to discuss also perhaps some ways the budget discussions were leveraged to achieve other things, with Councillor Kieran Brogan of Fianna Fáil, the Mayor of Letterkenny Milford Municipal District. Good morning, Kieran. Thank you for joining us.
Good morning, Greg.
And we also have Councillor Michael McBride, an independent, joining us as well. Michael, good to have you with us. Thanks for joining me.
Good morning, Greg and the listeners.
Right, Kieran, I'll begin with you, if that's okay, just to clarify the position, because we had Cathaoirleach Paul Canning on the show on Friday, and he'd suggested, that a 0% increase had been effectively agreed, but the stumbling block was that Fianna Fáil wanted to get a deferral of the active travel works in Letterkenny over the line, and they were using the budget negotiations to try and achieve that. Is that how you see how the process was going?
No, well, I think when Fianna Fáil went into the budget negotiations with the executive, we had a lot of concerns around several issues. Housing maintenance being one of them, with Teddy Towns issues that was a concern for us. And also, of course, the whole traffic situation around the active travel works that are ongoing in Letterkenny, and what solutions we could come up to regarding that, because I suppose it's causing a huge amount of inconvenience for many people at the moment, but we all know that the contract works are ongoing at the moment, so there was a cost involved in that. So we asked the executive to look at that and look at the cost, and they had to go into a cost of it because there's contracts in place. And we also looked for the appointment of traffic consultants to look, specialist traffic consultants to look at the overall traffic situation in and around Letterkenny to come up with solutions, because it's 2009 now since there was a land use and transportation study done in Letterkenny that identified many different things that hopefully could improve the traffic situation. So the executive asked us for time to go in and look at all that. And of course, there's a cost in all of that, and the cost was a sizable number, and I suppose, and based on that, you had to increase the rates. So when we looked at the overall package that was talked about, we agreed as a party to go 2%. We talked to other parties, and they agreed to support the initiatives that we had, because I suppose, irrespective of whatever political persuasion you come from, everyone most of the time gets the same issues. It's about the traffic, it's about the housing maintenance, it's about tidy towns and the sports bursaries and different things. That was our position. We set out that position. We had discussions with all other parties as well. And look, it was decided then not to support our proposal and to go for the 0%. To be honest, I was disappointed at that. I thought the impact of the 2% is very, very minimum. And the impact to ratepayers will be very minimum. I mean, 2%, as somebody who is a ratepayer would know that the 2% is a very small margin. And again, it would show us demonstrating that we're stepping up to the mark with the Gaelic and Creative.
All right, well,
budget and demonstrate exactly what we're doing.
The Fianna Fáil 2% increase was defeated 20 votes to 15, I believe. Councillor Michael McBride, why did you, I presume you were amongst one of those who voted against this increase, why?
Yes, that's correct, Greg. I actually proposed that the 2026 budget would be passed with a 0% increase in commercial rates, and I acknowledge the work that was done by the council executive in presenting the book with a 5% increase in the commercial rate. But I wasn't in a position to accept any raise in the commercial rate. For the first time since I joined the council 12 and a half years ago, I was actually lobbied by small and medium-sized enterprises and Letterkenny Chamber of Commerce, asking that the rate would not increase at this time. They just feel that enough was enough. The business community are facing into another increase in minimum wage that's badly needed by the workers, and mandatory pension, which is known as auto enrolment, raising fuel costs, raising electricity prices, and an economy where the disposable income has rapidly diminished.
But you heard from Councillor McBrogan, Councillor Kieran Brogan, sorry, as a ratepayer, this would be a minimal increase, but it would free up some resources for the council. And, you know, we heard from the council that, you can't make an omelette without breaking eggs. We're going to see less money spent than was proposed in house maintenance. And you know as well, I'm sure you were lobbied well on that, how important that is, Michael. And also to other areas like tidy towns, etc., climate issues, there's going to be less spending in relation to those. So, you know, every action has a reaction.
Well, Greg, what the first thing we have to realise is that that the Fianna Fáil motion put forward, or counter motion put forward, that the budget was looking for 2% from the local business community. And that was targeted at giving €90,000 to a company that is doing an active travel project in Letterkenny to down tools and go home, not to work. Pay them €90,000, not to work. And it's also €50,000 for a traffic study. And if we look at this, Greg, the government are going to have a surplus of €10 billion this year. And this is the places that the financing needs to come from for doing all these studies. And just to give you an idea, in 2024, between motor taxation and VRT, the government took in €1.9 billion.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Back in 2020, between VRT, the tax on fuels, motor taxation, and everything else, they took in €6.2 billion. So the money should be coming from the centre.
Yes, but it isn't, unfortunately. Before I bring Kieran Brogan back in, Michael, you know, what is the loss to businesses? You know, you're concerned about paying one company 90 grand for not working. What is the loss to Letterkenny businesses, the ones that you claim to represent as a whole, in terms of, you know, lost trade, people shopping elsewhere, etc.? Did you factor that in into your decision?
I think, Greg, to be honest with you, the most dangerous thing that we've got at the moment is putting out the message that not to come to Letterkenny.
No. Sorry, with respect. Yeah. No, with respect. I will promote Letterkenny to win blue in the face, but I am not going to ignore the hundreds and hundreds of calls and communications we get from people caught up in traffic. Because, to be honest, that would be dishonest of me to do that. Michael, and it, you know, I just simply can't do that. I understand what you're saying, but I also have to paint the picture that's out there as well, because we hold a mirror up to what's happening and we can't pretend it's not happening. So I don't want to be sort of painted into a corner of responsibility on any of this.
Yeah, can I just come in on that again? I brought this up at council before. We look at the traffic coming in from the Kilmacrenan side in the morning. The Wundy Hall Road is penciled in as the outer relief road for Letterkenny. And been honest about it, at this particular point in time, the outer relief road needs to be going from the mountaintop across the Glenkiar and then up through Culhame and right round to the woodlands, because the inner relief road is never going to work. And you know something? If we tell the truth, the Bonnagee Link is not going to solve the problem coming in from the Kilmacrenan side with the traffic. Mm. And school traffic is a major problem.
It really is, yeah. I just want to talk about the short and medium term, because I'm concerned about, you know, sort of what might happen between now and February for businesses and what have you. But that's to in no way invalidate your point. Councillor Kieran Brogan, you would have been lumping on 2% to every business in the county to pay contractors to sit at home, was what I took from Councillor McBride's comments there.
Yeah, well, first of all, Greg, we need to focus on our own role as councillors. We're elected members of Donegal County Council. Our budget this year is $224 million, the biggest budget ever we had in the history of the council. We need to realise that this is separation of powers. We're only responsible for the council budget. And to be talking about government is only, you know, a deflection away from the real issues. We have to take responsibility for our own budget book, and we have to make decisions around that book. Now, just to focus on the percent and you know, the conversation around the ratepayers. Over the 80% of our ratepayers are paying 5,000, an average of 5,000 per year. That is €1.92 per week. That's the difference that will make in the 2%. I don't think that's anyway significant. If somebody was paying twice that, that would be what, less than €4 per week. And then if they're paying four times that, you know.
Why would we have the Letterkenny Chamber coming out then last week, Kieran, in your view, over effectively what could have been €6 or €7 euro per week for the average for 80% of businesses? Why would the Letterkenny Chamber come out so strongly opposing this increase over that kind of money?
I have to be honest. I was very, very shocked and disappointed at the timing of Letterkenny Chamber press release, because I facilitated a meeting, as Councillor McBride would know, less than 2 weeks ago with Letterkenny Chamber around the challenges they had in Letterkenny, and they never once mentioned the commercial rates. We were talking about the issue around the traffic wardens in Letterkenny, the traffic bylaws in Letterkenny, and we were talking about the active travel works. Now, for Michael to state here with you in Highland that paying a contractor 90,000 to go away and do nothing, I think you can't defend the undefensible. We need to face reality. Active travel has done huge damage to the businesses of Letterkenny, more damage than ever the rates will do. And what we were doing, and Michael and his colleagues has now voted against us, I think if the roadworks, if we had been on Highland Radio, and we specifically asked the executive to be going on Highland Radio, to go on all the media and say that Letterkenny was open for business, the works were now being suspended from the 10th of December and wouldn't pick up again until January. That's exactly what we were doing. And I think the message from that would have been huge. and that was voted against. And I think, you know, the problem is here is that Michael has always supported all the active travel programs right through at Letterkenny, supported the four-lane program, and I think that is the problem, and it's a case of, oh, we're going to defend the undefensible. Now, for Michael's suggestion about a road from Cairnamugga to the mountain, or mountain top at the Glencairn Woodland, I mean, that's nonsense. They're not even on the plan. Well, it takes a long time to go through a process to get on a plan.
I understand
have the
that,
TNT
but
now
we will stay in the
public consultation. So I think we need to be realistic.
No,
we
and
need
of
to
course,
be honest with the people of where we're at.
Of course, Kieran, and I'll just say and the I same to you as we're focusing on the short and medium term.
This active travel works, and the work around the consultants for Letterkenny, unless we start to take this serious. Now, we as a party have met with the Transport Forum. We're talking to the people in the buses who tell us the delays in the traffic. The delays they were telling us from Ulster to the mountaintop on the buses now is 32 minutes. So we have a duty as public representatives to challenge what's there and to try and overcome it and come up with solutions. And we in the Fianna Fáil party were trying to come up with solutions. That's why we wanted the consultants. That's why we wanted the work suspended. We wanted to send out a positive message to the business people in Letterkenny. And I always say when you're making these decisions, if you can walk down Letterkenny Street and you can meet anybody in the street and demonstrate what the 2% was, it was 300,000 for the housing maintenance, 72,000 for the 20 towns, the sports bursaries as well of 10,000, the climate adaption fund, and also the 90,000 for suspending the roadworks. And I will make no apologies because I want to send out a great message this week, maybe one of the most positive messages we would have had.
Councillor
McBride,
we were
suspending the roadworks in order for
there's an irony here that the chamber weren't calling for the 5% increase. But you're making the argument that this increase would have been very much to the benefit of the chamber members. It kind of raises an interesting dichotomy there. But back to you, Councillor McBride, defending the indefensible. You've backed these active travels. Do you still believe these active travel proposals are a good idea, especially considering, you know, effectively it felt like to me that you want me to sort of pretend... you want me to pretend that your decision to back these active travel plans was a good one?
Greg, just first of all, before I get into it, I wasn't able to hear Councillor Brogan when he was speaking here. There's some problem with the WhatsApp link. But what I will say about active travel is we have two sections of active travel finished in Letterkenny. The first one is around by the college, down Century Hill, and right round by the Bishop's Palace. And the second one as the back road in Letterkenny. And I don't think, you know, that people should be able to fault them. They're okay. Really, really well done.
Well, what Councillor Brogan was saying is that you're defending the indefensible.
No, well, just if I can finish. Now, I know myself that next year the ATU in Letterkenny are going to start a 17 million phase one development in Cairnamugga of their sports development. And they're very anxious that they would be connected to the sports development through active travel. Mm. If you go down to Carrick and Shannon, it's a town where active travel has been complete, and walk around and look at it, that's an absolutely fantastic job.
But just a couple of questions.
Sorry,
if you don't mind. Carrick and Shannon's a very different. Do you believe many people will cycle up and down the mountaintop on this new cycle lane? Honestly, do you believe many will?
Greg, do you know something? I come across One Day Hall there most mornings, and I'm seeing people on bicycles and scooters on that road. Mm. We can't turn around and just carte blanche say there's nobody using it, because there is people using it.
Do you have any concerns that the new active...
If it's a modern system and up-to-date and fit for purpose, I think you'll have more people. But there's one thing we can't do is do nothing in Letterkenny, because it's not working the way it is. There's 20% more cars on the road in Ireland since 2016. That continues to increase. And if we don't do something to change it, then we're going to get into a worse situation rather than a better situation.
But how does the active travel proposals as they are, in the absence of the 10T, how does that get cars off the road?
Well, it'll get people walking and cycling to work in a safe conditions and safe manner. Mm. People who are close enough to work that live in the town. And also we have to realise that this time next year we're hoping that we'll have a new town bus service starting that people will be able to use to get around. Because we have to look at...
Would you have any concerns that there aren't any... Would you have any concerns that the plans that you voted for... Have the bus, if it's a hop on, hop on, have the bus stopped in the middle of lanes to take people, for people to get off and on, maybe people with a disability, that there aren't any places for this bus to pull into to allow people on and off? And the fact that the town snarled up, it might with the roads further narrowed, might make it a very, you know, non-punctual bus service. Do you have any concerns about that?
I've already raised these issues at council meetings and we're told by the companies that are running the buses that they will not go on to A-bys, that they only do that stop and go model. That's what they want to do nationally. Not optional for the councillors.
Okay. Councillor Brogan, last word to you, unless there's obviously something that...
No, well, just in the last word that Michael said, but he was told by the bus operators that they wouldn't get into the bus, they wouldn't get into the A-bys. We have met, myself and the Cahillagh, Paul Canning, met with the Transport Forum, and I intend to bring the Transport Forum in to meet all the elected members, including Councillor McBride, because they're saying the exact opposite. They want to pull into the A-bys. But they've also said to us, there's absolutely no point in Letterkenny thinking about putting in a town bus service at the minute because nobody would want it because of traffic delays. And that's about exactly what you're after saying. People need to be on time and on schedule. And they said at the minute that it's not workable. We need to be listening to these people. That's the same people that's telling us that it's taken 32 minutes from Ulliston to the mountaintop. And we need to be realistic about getting on the basics too, because I'll tell you, there's an awful lot of people. The success of Letterkenny has been huge over the last number of years. We have so many people working there. But the reality is they won't be getting on the bicycles in Termin or Kilmacrenan or Church Hill or Gidor or Farrant or Glenties coming to Letterkenny on a bicycle either. And we need to be realistic about that. And then going forward, look, we've seen massive investment in the ATU, and I'm glad that the government has put in probably the guts of 100 million committed at this stage between the sports complex. But we need to be realistic about where people are coming from.
Okay. I suppose it all comes down to... It really comes down to how people are prepared to get around into the future, whether people are going to cycle to and from work in Letterkenny. Obviously, Councillor McBride, you believe they are. That would free up traffic and make the bus, I suppose, easy to move around. Many people don't believe that's the case. Right, okay. Councillor Kieran Brogan, thank you. Go ahead.
Greg, can I just say, just briefly, that I think was very disappointing as well not to support us bringing in specialist consultants to look at the whole traffic model around Letterkenny. Because some of the small things, the small junctions, and one of the things that the bus operators would have said to us, that the auto track that was used by active travel, for example, at the junction, at the bottom of the town of Tintai was used by a 12-metre bus was used for that, and most of the buses now are 14-metre.
Okay.
Small things at the junctions and stuff would have made a huge difference, and it's disappointing that the suspension of the works didn't happen, because imagine the good news story of it being out to all the business people in Letterkenny, to all the business people throughout the town, that the works are now suspended. Unfortunately, that's not going to happen because Michael and his colleagues decided not to support that. And in my opinion, the reason they didn't is because they didn't want to be seen in reversion on their support, continued support for the active travel.
Okay, well, I'll put that to it, because I presume Councillor McBride would be of the view that he wouldn't sell out like that. But Councillor McBride, last word to you. I don't know if you heard Councillor McBride. He said that, you know, you blocked these initiatives because they were tied into a suspension of these active travel works, and that you wouldn't want to be seen to be backtracking.
I just want to be very clear about this, but this has turned out today to be a discussion about Letterkenny, and I'm happy enough to talk about Letterkenny. I think it made my point very clear on it, and I will be solid going forward on my ideology on about active travel, because I think when it's completed, it'll be a very, very good thing for the town in Letterkenny. But we have to remember, this is a county-wide budget that we were looking at, and that was reflected in the vote that was got, because the vote on the counter motion put in by Fianna Fáil was defeated.
Okay, but I will say, in fairness, Matt McBride, it was a county-wide vote on the active travel for Letterkenny as well, too. There were people in Donegal Town, Mount Charles, Gwydor, Dunloe, Inishowen, Mallon, and all over the place. They had their say on the active travel as well. I'm not sure of the numbers, but it was much tighter if you only looked at local councillors, if I could put it like that. So, you know, we can't cherry pick when things is a countywide issue and a Letterkenny only issue either.
Oh, absolutely. As I say, I'm very, very happy with the decision that I made on the budget day, and I'll continue. I won't change. I'm happy enough that any decisions I've made are the correct decisions, and I'll stick by them.
Yep, of course, and that's what it's all about. Thank you very much indeed. Thank you very much, Kieran. I appreciate your time as well.
Thanks.
Okay, bye-bye. Councillor Michael McBride, Councillor Kieran Brogan, what's your views? Let me know, 074-91-25000 to give us a call, or WhatsApp or text 086-6025000. Can Councillor Kieran Brogan clarify if he is against the bridge over the Swilly as it's going to take traffic away? I think it was Councillor McBride referenced that. Councillor McBride stated he was lobbied by businesses to not raise rates. Why does Councillor Brogan not want to listen to the small and medium businesses within town? The road from Manton Top to Woodlands is a great idea. Councillor Brogan says that he had a meeting with the Letterkenny Chamber and that wasn't referenced, rates weren't referenced at all. And he said that he was very surprised at Letterkenny Chamber's timing of that press release because, according to him, they hadn't raised that issue with him at a recent meeting. Greg, I was talking to a man at the weekend and he told me of at least four businesses in Letterkenny closing up. Indeed, there are, I certainly am aware of one. There are other businesses in different parts of the county that are closing up. I predicted this in the middle of the summer earlier in this year that at this time, people would start making decisions about their future, and unfortunately, that is coming to pass now. People would have saw the summer. How busy was the summer? Can we survive through the winter and be in a good footing for the next summer? And unfortunately, I felt that some businesses were going to say no, we can't, especially with new regimes coming in, tax, VAT, etc. A caller says the minimum amount of 2% is a lot extra for business owners when you add in other costs come January with the pension fund being introduced. Put pressure on central government to give us more funds. That's the key to all of this, of course. But Councillor Brogan estimated, was it less than €2 a week for your average business? Right, I'm joined on the programme by Donna Harper, who very sadly lost her beautiful daughter Leona in the Chrysler tragedy. Thank you for joining me, Donna, because I know, and we were out of studio, I know since that you managed to secure a meeting with Minister for Justice Jim O'Callaghan in the Mount Errigal Hotel on Friday. So, you know, it's a very unique situation, I think, for you guys to be able to actually sit face to face and tease this out. So how do you frame the meeting? What came from it, Donna?
Good morning, Greg. Yeah, we managed to secure a very last-minute meeting, and there was absolutely no hesitation from Jim O'Callaghan or his advisor to meet with me and my husband, Hugh. And because it was last-minute, other family members, they just couldn't attend because, you know, just it was last-minute. But we put their concerns to the minister along with our own. The meeting with Jim O'Callaghan, we were able to explain... the meeting with Jim O'Callaghan, we explained to him that the column for the public inquiry was not to undermine or question the capability of the Garda Síochána in any kind of a way. But the meeting gave us the opportunity to give our concerns to Jim O'Callaghan, and it was important for us, and it was important to get all the facts to be sure that this doesn't happen again, and that's why we were calling inquiry.
We've had it before whereby, you know, the government or representatives of the government have said that, you know, let the investigation run its course and then perhaps we can look at a public inquiry. The counter argument was, as look, you can, the two can run side by side, they can go at the same time. The minister seems to be looking to defer a public inquiry, and you seem what did he say that has you framing the meeting as a positive one? If you do you understand my confusion?
Oh no, I do, Greg. I mean, as the minister said on your show there to Donald Kavanagh himself, that he would like to see justice through the courts and take it from there. But the thing is, there will be questions outside of that Garda inquiry as well, and the state does have a responsibility to get us them answers, and it should not be left to the families to try and get them answers. The reason that I was happy with the meeting is because, well, really because it was last minute and he did meet with us and he did not rule out the public inquiry. He did say that he would like to see it go through the courts first, and if there is any questions left then to be answered, that he would sit down and talk to us. So we were quite positive with that, because there is going to be questions outside of that. Without a doubt, there's so much that needs to be answered to us. And I do believe that it is the state's responsibility to give us them answers.
Mm. So, have you managed to consult with some of the other families? Is it the position now, just so I know myself for future questioning, if it comes up, the position is now, right, okay, it seems like we will have to accept the court and the Gardaí to go through that process. And then after that, if there are further questions, then we can sit down with Jim Callaghan and see how those questions can be answered. Is that the position now?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, again, as I say, the meeting did go quite well. We were quite positive from the talk. It was a private meeting that we had with him. And that is what Jim had said to us, that he would like to see it run through the courts. And if there was any other questions, but there will be a lot of questions outside of that as well. And again, like it's, I do believe that it's the state's responsibility to get us them answers. And, you know, there should be no talk about a cost or anything else. It should not be coming into this. I mean, this is it's in the interest of the public as well, because the public want to know as well, and changes have to be made. Mm. They really do have to be made. Like it's, so I mean, either the states are going to prosecute, or the Minister for the Justice will just have to get the wheels in motion, just and sit down and talk to us after. And
but again, you're prepared, you individually, and those who you speak on behalf are prepared now to give the legal process. Allow it to go its due course and then revisit the public inquiry. Sorry to have to clarify this again, then revisit the public inquiry with the minister if there are outstanding questions, which it's likely there may well be, but you're prepared at this point, because it's been the subject of a few motions in the council as well. And we've had Sinn Féin on saying that there's no harm with these things running parallel and there's no excuse for them not to. Yeah. So, but the families now are more content to let the court process conclude and then revisit the public inquiry conversation?
Well, that's, I mean, after the meeting with Jim O'Callaghan, that's the way that it's looking. I mean, we would love to see the public inquiry here right now, but after the meeting with Jim, as he said as well on your show, he would like to see it go through the courts first and then anything outside of that. But as we all know, there still will be questions that need to be answered.
Yeah, for sure. And the sooner the better, I'm sure. Donna, listen, thanks so much.
Oh, the sooner the better. Yeah. Like we're eagerly awaiting as well on word from the DPP. We know a bulk of the file has gone. We were told the other wee bit of the file will go before March. So we're still eagerly waiting away on word from the DPP. Like, Greg, I'm trying to be as delicate as I can here when I say this next. But 10 people went into a shop and they never came home. Mm-hmm. So when do we start being realistic about public inquiries here? I mean, it was a mass tragedy like this. And again, I'll say that, like, the cost or anything like that should not be coming into consideration.
We need to learn it.
The public want to know. They have a right to know.
Of course, we need to know. And we need to learn if there's things to learn. Donna, thank you so much for your time. I do appreciate it.
Absolutely. Okay. All right. Thanks,
Greg. Donna Harper there. A caller says, someone on YouTube says, did Greg hear right, or did that elected county councillor just say there were bikes and scooters on the Windowhall Road this morning? This is why everything is the way it is. I think I did hear that. We're heading really towards an hour warning for you if you want to get in on today's draw, because we've got €1,000 to give away. And it's all part of 11 draws culminating in a car worth over €35,000 just before Christmas. You can be all in all 11 draws, but you need to get on it because there's a lot to process. Not if you go online, highlandradio.com. It's perfectly safe and secure and we'll get you in that draw. But if you want to give us a call here, get in quick, because we want to make sure that everyone that wants a ticket that way gets it. 07491 25,000. Tickets are €15 for 10 draws of a grand and one draw of a 35,000 plus car. 07491 25,000, or you can call up to us, but you need to get on your bike. No pun intended. Right, we'll be back with more after the news and obituary notices. Stay where you are.